It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Pennsylvania had the biggest protest, Neil, and the most compelling pictures. This is Harrisburg. We're going to show you the Capitol, where a few thousand ralliers showed up to protest the shutdown, demanding the governor, Tom Wolf, reopen the economy. And again, as you say, very little social distancing there. And while the protesters are making their case outside, both chambers of Pennsylvania's GOP-controlled legislature are planning to come back in session in an effort to limit Governor Wolf's power to maintain the shutdown. But as all this comes, the governor is targeting May 8th as the date for a limited reopening. We're talking about things like construction, retail shops, online car sales. Let's go back now to Arizona, because there were also some different types of rallies. A lot of people stayed inside their cars calling for the governor to reopen the economy. They were practicing a little bit of social distancing. The protests around the country were organized in Phoenix and Pennsylvania on Facebook, like much of the other parts of the country. And here are a few opinions from Phoenix. Watch.
This whole thing was a mistake from the beginning to shut down America. We didn't know at the time. It was probably a good decision at the time, but now it's clear it was a mistake.
I think there could be a staged opening, you know, but we need to make sure that the health and welfare of Arizona citizens isn't jeopardized first.
Yeah, we should point out that Arizona Governor Doug Ducey has targeted a May 1st opening, but he has given very few details in that. It's also worth pointing out Alaska, Montana, and Colorado are planning to open this week. Kind of limited opening. California has no target date yet, Neil, and it's going to be 85 degrees here this weekend. Wondering how the beach closers are going to play across the state.
All right, Sandy Rios with it. That was Trace Gallagher and Fox yesterday. And so we have protests breaking out all over the country. There are more states than, of course, Trace mentioned. There's a very long list, as a matter of fact. I was going to read that list to you, and now... But it's Minnesota and Michigan and Arizona and, you know, just about everywhere, really. I would say probably 30 states in that list. And when I find it, I'll read it to you. But people are protesting. And, of course, they are getting completely slammed by the media. I'm going to get into that a little bit later because it really is horrific. In fact, April Ryan, actually, from CNN, suggested that maybe people that were protesting in these various states and trying to get the states to open back up should not be able to get medical care if they contact a coronavirus. She's suggesting that if you dare go out in the streets, if you dare go out and protest what your governor, your dictator in the state in which you live, dictates to you, if you say, you know, I know I should actually be able to plant flowers and plant my garden. And now we have a story in New Jersey. The governor there is banning driving through a tulip farm and looking at tulips. I'll just read this to you. Dalton Farms in South Jersey adjusted to the shutdown by offering a drive-through experience to view the beautiful tulip plantings. Each car paid a fee and drove around the beautiful tulip gardens. The lady writing this says, I visited Easter Saturday and there was someone dressed as an Easter bunny. At the end of the drive, visitors could purchase bouquets of tulips. It was the most creative social distancing idea I've seen today. The farm owners sold tickets online but limited the number sold per hour. All workers scanning tickets and selling flowers were masked and at a distance greater than the supermarket checkout. Yesterday afternoon, the state ordered Dalton Farms to cease operations effective 7 o'clock last night. I cannot even explain the sense of helplessness I feel toward the government in my state. The overreach is shocking, and it's as if the governor wants food bank lines even longer and defaults on mortgages to skyrocket. That's New Jersey overnight. You wonder why people are out in the streets protesting? You wonder why? And then, now we add to this that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook was on with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. I think it was Sunday, maybe yesterday. And Zuckerberg's made a big announcement. It's made a big headlines this morning, at least for some of us. And that is basically Facebook is shutting down. If you are, any of you are protesting and you want to put those protests online and advertise to people in your states, well, Facebook, well, they're not going to help you. They're going to take you off Facebook. Let's listen to it after Mark Zuckerberg's, in his own words. Let's listen, clip three.
Facebook also holds its users accountable by continuing to monitor and flag posts for harmful misinformation about the disease.
How do you deal with the fact that Facebook is now being used to organize a lot of these protests to defy social distancing, defy the social distancing guidelines in states? Is somebody trying to organize something like that, does that qualify as harmful information?
We do classify that as harmful misinformation, and we take that down. At the same time, you know, it's important that people can debate policies, so there's a line on this. But, you know, more than normal political discourse, I think a lot of the stuff that people are saying that is false around a health emergency like this can be classified as harmful misinformation.
Yep.
Now, listen, harmful misinformation, that phrase alone should bring shudders down your spine. Disinformation? Disinformation? That's what the Soviets, the Nazis, that's what they were all known for stopping, your misinformation, which was actually the truth. Actually, the truth, we can't even imagine that this is happening in our country. And yes, that's what Facebook is doing. I know that some people are bringing this to the attention of the Justice Department, and we'll see how that goes down. Because Mark Zuckerberg thinks that, you know, if you want to protest in your own state about what your governor is doing, about the fact that you can't buy plants, you can't plant vegetables, that you can't drive through tulip farms, and various other, you're arrested in the park throwing a ball to your daughter by yourself. We could go on and on. Could we not with the abuses? But if you dare to go out and protest, Mark Zuckerberg says it's misinformation if you try to gather people, and they will take you off Facebook. Becky Gerritsen is joining us. Becky is the executive director of Beagle Forum in Alabama. She was also founder of Tea Party Patriots down there. And Becky is organizing a protest where the people of Alabama can let their voices be heard. It's today at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. And Becky, good morning, first of all. Can you tell people where they would go, how they would find you?
Sure. This is a car rally, and it's in support of our task force's recommendations for phase one of reopening Alabama. They were released on Friday with plenty of protocols, safety protocols in place. So this is a support rally to open Alabama. It is at the Capitol building in Montgomery at 1 o'clock, and think of it like a parade. We have a website called standupalabama.com where people can see the route, decorate your cars, have your flags. That's the main part of the rally. Now, if you're a small business owner or this has really affected you in some way, we will have a microphone, and we will be videoing, and you can leave your message for the governor to please support these recommendations and open up the country or open up the state, and then get back in your car and join the rally. So this, we're trying to let people feel comfortable that they can still have their voices heard if they're afraid of getting out of their cars. We certainly aren't. It's time to reopen our state. And I'm just, thank you for playing that clip in the beginning. They're taking YouTube videos down as well, Sandy.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that. StandUpAlabama.com, StandUpAlabama.com. It seems like a website is probably the only safe thing anymore, Becky. Right, let's talk about this. What's happening? Are you saying then that your Governor Ivey is actually going to open up your state? So you're just supporting her decision to do that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the recommendations were released on Friday by our lieutenant governor, and they're excellent. I mean, we're really happy with that, but she has not approved it, and it doesn't look like she's going to approve it. It looks like she's going to wait until May 1st. So we are trying to have this to show support. Please, you know, accept these now. Approve them now.
Alabama, what's been the circumstance down there, Becky? Have you guys been in lockdown? What have been the restrictions?
We have been shelter in place, but, you know, Alabama, we sort of have our own mind. So for some, life has gone on. You know, you see people at Walmart and you see people at all the box stores and all that. More masks are coming on. But, no, our governor has done a good job not being a tyrant. But we have so many people reaching out now, these individual contractors, hairdressers, and these sorts, 1099 people. They're not getting unemployment. And they cannot go any longer. They're struggling to feed their families, literally. And it's just ridiculous that we are going to the lengths that we're going. And this is only phase one. If we wait two more weeks to start phase one, then that pushes phase two and all those other businesses off for a month. And it's just, people need to just come to grips with, we live in an environment and life has risks. And you just need to take personal responsibility and do your best to wash your hands and be safe. And don't go out if you're scared. But, you know, the rest of us, we have to make a living.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And so I'm going to illustrate that when I say goodbye to you. I've got so many things, Becky. The mainstream media, even Fox, you know, Fox has been, I think, one of the worst. Look, they've been one of the best also. They've had some great anchors, our great hosts. I'll bring out some information that people wouldn't get anywhere else if that weren't for them. But their news, they lead with the news. Their radio news is all about, you know, it's pretty much the party line. And so people just need to be real clear about that. It's a confusing time, and you have to figure out who it is you can trust and listen to. Let me just say that, again, Alabama's rally today will be at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time in Montgomery, and that'll be standupalabama.com. You can get information on the location and the signs. I'm guessing you say something about signs. What are your signs going to be, Becky?
Honk if you want to go back to work, you know, those kind of things. We had a meeting with the cops yesterday about this rally, and, you know, they've just been great. And so I'm going to have a sign that, you know, is give a thumbs up to one of the cops, because they've just been terrific. But Sandy, the more this goes on, the more we see the tyranny behind it, you know, people getting arrested. This really is about jobs. This rally is about jobs and getting back to work. But we're starting to see, you know, you can't even attend a parking lot service for church.
You can't do that in Alabama?
State parks with sand. No, but in certain places, yeah.
Yes.
And there are places where, you know, they're starting to tell on their neighbors if they do things. We're moving way too fast, and people have got to speak up now.
Yeah,
speak
and
now
Facebook,
or forever hold your peace.
And if the censorship that on social media that we've talked about so often, and people have heard about this, if this does not hit home with people right now, I don't know what will. If they silence you on social media, any of us, and just, you know, it can happen to anyone. That's what they always say. And it's true. What was that famous quote? That first they came for, you know, my neighbor across the street, then they came for my neighbor.
Right.
And but when they came for me, it was too late. I didn't say anything earlier than that. Then they came for me, it was too late. And honestly, that is what we're facing. So, Becky, thanks for your leadership, as always, in Alabama and really nationwide. StandUpAlabama.com, StandUpAlabama.com for more information. Becky Gerritsen, thank you so much. And a shout-out to Eagle Forum, who I love and who you head in Alabama. So thank you, ma'am.
Great. Thank you, Sandy. Have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. You do, too. All right. I'd love to play this. Do I have time? Yes, I think I do. This is an ad that President Trump's team put together that's been on social media. Speaking of social media, how long? Wonder how long it's going to be up. I want you to hear it because it combines a few things. Nancy Pelosi eating ice cream, for one, that we played yesterday. This is clip 15. Let's listen.
We turn now to that $350 billion fund to help small businesses and its workers get through the shutdown.
It will be up to Congress to restock it.
But Democrats blocking that move this morning.
They asked for $250 billion in 48 hours. I said, well, I don't think so. They objected, and I congratulate the Senate Democrats.
Speaker Pelosi, what are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate candy.
Thousands have been forced to wait for hours at food banks all across the country.
This is...
Oh, my.
Chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here. We just got to restock the ice cream.
You don't want to eat up everything all at one time.
I can't do it much longer. I am trying so hard.
We're, shall we say, enjoying.
Having to admit that, yeah, we're starving, and
I like it better than anything else.
Taping this segment, there are 22 million people out.
This specific program is about stopping job losses today.
This is hurting people bad.
Other people in our family go for some other flavors, but
right now it's survival move. You don't know where that next something else is gonna come from.
I don't know what I would have done if ice cream were not invented. I just wonder.
Sandy Rios, we're going to play that again when I come back. That's Nancy Pelosi loving her ice cream. Okay.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn,
a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Brenda Berman, Commissioner of the Bureau of Reclamation. Her office oversees water resource management, bringing water to more than 31 million people in the United States. Isaiah 44:3 reminds us that God's blessings flow like water into our lives. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Brenda Berman as she works to bring life-sustaining water to the people of this country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us as we count down to the National Day of Prayer. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. The mainstream media is advancing a bizarre narrative about the Liberate Movement. Anyone who wants to go back to work is endangering lives and deserves to die. No hyperbole, folks. That's what they're saying. Miami Herald columnist Fabio Santiago wrote that Florida beachgoers should work nicely to thin the ranks of Trump supporters. And the chief of staff of the Maryland comptroller said people who are marching in the streets ought to be put in warehouses where they could die. The Maryland Republican Party demanded the guy be fired for basically endorsing genocide of Trump supporters. I saw this kind of narrative firsthand in Memphis, Tennessee. A reporter for Action News 5, the NBC affiliate, asked a protester, and I quote, "What if the country's reopened and more people die? Is that what you want? Come on, man. Just because there's a global pandemic is no reason to be a jerk." Be sure to get my all-new Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
President Trump called this a war, and it is exactly that. So let's act like it. In World War II, there weren't people lining up at the Capitol to protest the fact that they had to drop everything they were doing and build planes or tanks or to ration food. They rolled up their sleeves and they got to work. We were all in this together. And it wasn't indefinite. It was until we'd beaten the enemy. No state shined more in those days than the state of Michigan. We are called to act again. It is our time to shine, to put aside our political differences, to come together and defeat our common enemy.
Are you kidding me? That's the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. So now she's accusing the protesters, comparing this to World War II, where people had to do without. They had to have rationing. She's comparing making people stay home, not allowing them to work, not able to pay their mortgage or feed their families, not allowing kids to go to school. She says, as long as we need to do this, there shouldn't be any complaining, just like World War II. But in World War II, the difference was, let me think. Well, first of all, people were working. They were making money. I don't mean getting rich. I mean able to support their families. This is a desperate situation that she and other governors, and one could argue the Fauci, the Fauci model has put us in. The fake models that got us into this situation are causing, what, 22 million people now are out of work in the United States. And people, I told you just a few days ago, I don't know when it happened exactly. It's been in the, not even a week, that a business owner in Oklahoma, a small business owner, committed suicide as a result of the pressure. Now, I don't, that's not a public, that is, again, that's a private private information. I don't even know if that's been made public yet. But I'm just telling you that we cannot go on like this. People cannot go without work. I know personally of people who are in business in Michigan who cannot survive. You know, I think there was a poll that I read. It was that people cannot, most people in this poll, I'm sorry if I could remember the percentage, I would tell you it's a majority, maybe it's 60%, said that they could not survive more than a month without some kind of income. They couldn't make it longer than that. And so we are putting people in a desperate situation. And how dare she shame them by claiming that they don't have the courage of people during World War II. They should just stay home and not work and not have any income and cooperate with her rules, because we are fighting an enemy that we're finding out is not quite the enemy we thought it was. In fact, I'd like to get into that later, and I hopefully I will, but I want to stick with this for a second. Now, I want to spend a little bit more time on something I played yesterday, and that is Nancy Pelosi doing an interview on the Late Late Show. She did that a few nights ago, and a lot of you have seen this, but in case you haven't, I just have to spend more time on this. She's sitting in her home, in her kitchen. Her backdrop, she's like at a counter. Her backdrop is two beautiful refrigerator freezers. And people are saying now they are $12,000 a piece. So these are her two refrigerators in her home. She is bantering with the host about how she loves ice cream. Now, keep in mind, Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House is at home talking about how she loves ice cream while not in D.C., making decisions, doing the hard things, helping people who are actually suffering by being out of work. And she's all sunshine and smiles and talking about ice cream. It really is repulsive. I don't know what else to say. It's repulsive. In fact, now that you know that, she's sitting in front of those refrigerators, and then she opens her refrigerator and she shows the various kinds. The ice cream that she's demonstrating, by the way, is $13 a pint. $13 a pint. Let's listen to that clip from the Late Late Show and just let you, now that you have the visual, let you hear it. Let's listen.
Welcome back. We're here with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and we've asked her to share something from her home for a little Late Late Show and Tell. Speaker Pelosi, what have you found? What are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate.
Really?
Chocolate, candy.
Oh, wow.
And this is something you can get through the mail.
Okay.
Run out. Can I show you?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the episode of Cribs I never knew I needed. Oh, my God. Wow.
Other people in our family go for some other flavors, but chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here.
See, yeah. I've always felt a connection with you, and now I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Since you've been isolating in your house, how much of your regular diet do you think is ice cream and candy?
Well, as much as possible. I enjoy it. I like it better than anything else. And I don't know why, but it seems to agree with me. I have a lot of energy, and we just got restocked the ice cream right for Easter Sunday because we were, shall we say, enjoying. I don't know what I would have done if ice cream were not invented. I just wonder.
I agree. I don't know who I am without it. Well, thank you for that little sneak peek. We'll be right back.
That is, ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the United States, who has, on recess, perpetual recess, has not invited the Congress back. They're making law, passing bills in absentia by voice vote, working very hard on your behalf, as you can hear. So this is, yet Nancy Pelosi's not quiet. You know, she still makes her public statements and she still appears on television. She did on Sunday. And I want you to hear what she said about the president of the United States, who, by the way, is every single day, 7 days a week, working to make America open, safe, doing his best to listen to Dr. Fauci, who I think he knows now, has given us some terrible advice that's caused untold damage. 3 years of economic growth just destroyed, and lives now beginning to be destroyed. So Nancy Pelosi, while eating her ice cream, then took time to put a scarf around her neck and go on the Sunday shows. And you'll hear what she had to say about President Trump, and then you'll hear what President Trump had to say about the Democrats. This is clip 10. Let's listen.
The president has made many mistakes. Leaders take responsibility. So I said he's a weak leader. He doesn't take responsibility. He places blame on others. And that might have been okay for before, but we cannot continue down a path that is, again, I'll come back to science, evidence, data on how we could go forward.
You say it's ready to go. Then they say, oh, we have a good negotiating position now because he just said it's ready to go. We're negotiating with the Democrats. And, you know, they negotiate for things that we can't do, that we don't think are in the best interest of the people of this country. We are very close to a deal.
Yes. Well, that's the president every day hammering it away. You can see it on his face. And yet they say he's lazy. What does she say? He's a weak leader. She, on the other hand, is a strong leader. Maybe because she eats so much ice cream out of her $28,000 refrigerator freezers. Now, look, I don't have any problem with people being wealthy or having, you know, abundance. I actually think that's what God had in mind for us. But I do have a problem with the leader of the House of Representatives in dereliction of her duty, hiding in her home. She's very wealthy. She was raised in a wealthy family. Her husband is wealthy. She has wealth. And that's okay. But right now, you know what? She's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the People's House, and she's not there. She's home eating ice cream, barking at the president for being a weak leader. It is really unconscionable. Dagan Medal is with Fox News. I love Dagan. She is one of their, economic pundits. She talks about the economy all the time. She was really upset about this, too. And I would love for you to hear what she has to say. This is clip 11.
These are people, these are family businesses that are flat on their backs. And these people don't know how they're going to stay open because the Democrats were playing politics with a reload and a refresh and a refill of this small business paycheck protection program. 7 days before that program ran out of money, Mitch McConnell put in front of the Democrats a 25-line bill just for the money. And what did they do? They drag their feet. So every time any one of these Democrats ever says small businesses and they're going to tell you how important they are to the fabric of America, those two words should be preceded with go to small businesses, because that's what you did. And now they're trying to turn it on the Republicans. The Democrats are talking about, why did the blue states not get as many loans filled as some of the red states did? You know why? Because that's where the big banks were, and they deserve a lot of the blame as well. Because Wells Fargo made about $120 million in loans out of a $350 billion program. Those big banks, Bank of America and J.P. Morgan, they slow walked these loans for the first 10 days of the program when they should have been stepping up like the community banks. There is shame to go around, and I've got a steaming pile of horse manure they can all jump in.
All right, that was Dagan Medal of Fox, and that's not funny. She means it, and so do I. I'm angry, too. I'm as angry as she is. I cannot believe we've come to this, where we have people representing us in Washington, and they're not in Washington, where the Senate and House alike are just gone. They're gone. We have a president there every day fighting. And the members of the House and the members of the Senate are just absent, home, doing whatever it is they're doing. Now, there are Republicans now that are back in Washington, members of Congress who are trying to call Nancy Pelosi out, who are doing their best to they can't convene. She has the power to do that. They can't do that. And so it's disgusting. And it is the reason why, one of the many, that people are out protesting. We just talked to Becky Gerritsen, who's leading this protest. Well, I guess it's a Stand Up for Alabama rally, standupforalabama.com, that's taking place at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time today. But in your own state, you should check and see. There's 50 states. I can't keep up with all of them. So I hope that you will responsibly, see if you can find out. But, of course, Facebook is not going to be advertising for these things. You can't use them to organize anymore because, that's disinformation that Becky Gerritsen and the rest of them are, any protest of the great government, Big Brother, is disinformation, according to Mark Zuckerberg. And that just makes me shudder, And so I want to tell you that we are having now I don't know if it would be a flood. Yes, I think it would be a flood. I'm quoting Marilyn Marchione, who says it's a flood, so it must be. A flood of research that's suggesting, speaking of what we're learning, that far more people have had the coronavirus without any symptoms, fueling the hope that it will turn out to be much less lethal than originally feared. None of the numbers that have come out so far can be fully trusted because they're based on flawed and inadequate testing. But according to Michael Mina of Harvard's School of Public Health, collectively, these bits of research suggest we have been way off the mark by huge, huge numbers. Based on known cases, health officials have said the virus usually causes mild or moderate flu-like illness. Now evidence is growing that a substantial number of people may have no symptoms at all. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, it's good news in terms of, the way people, the fear that people have about contracting coronavirus, scared out of their minds, masked up, going to the grocery store in these suits. Have you seen the pictures on, online? I mean, it is unbelievable the kinds of things that people are going to, the lengths they're going to make themselves safe, how when you're walking down the street, they'll pull away from you or their eyes don't even, they avert your gaze. That reminds me so much of East Germany when I used to go, when Checkpoint Charlie was still up and we would go through that checkpoint and enter into the very silent East Berlin, colorless, tasteless, odorless, no cars, go into a restaurant to eat something and people wouldn't dare look at each other. And not talk. You just hear the click of forks because they were so scared. And if they made eye contact with you, they quickly turn, look down. Because they were so scared. Is this really what you want for yourself and your family? I hope not. So back to the research. Okay, so I'm reading from another person I know who's in the know of SARS-CoV-2. Infection is far more prevalent, maybe 50 to 80 times more than we thought. And he's talking about COVID. He's a medical person. He's talking about the COVID-19. The case fatality rate is closer to 3 in 10,000 than it is to what the World Health Organization reported as 3 in 100. That would mean that if everybody in the U.S. were to get COVID-19, expected total deaths would be 100 to 150,000, far from the 2 million nightmare scenario. All right, so we are beginning to see the wheels are coming off the bus, and so the powers that be who have happily, gleefully taken away your freedoms and rights and released prisoners en masse out of jails in various states because, it's a chance for them to do that, are going to have to do some double timing. And they have been doing that, counting people dying from all kinds of things as COVID-19 victims. We know that that's happening. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control actually wanted them to do that. They said if a person has multiple problems, but they tested positive, you count that as a death from COVID-19. That's how dishonest this whole process has been. So I'm just saying we are finding out that many, many, many people were COVID-19 positive, but we never knew it. And that means that because there are thousands and thousands more who had it, that means that the death rate from it is it's very minimal. But if you look state by state, the populations of states and the deaths, it's minimal. All right. I'm going to come back with some of the media's response. It really is pretty disgusting. So we'll continue this. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Paul's epistle to the Romans was written to believers. This verse highlights the fact that it's possible for Christians to be conformed to the world's ways. The word conform there means to be squeezed into the mold of another. Rather than being squeezed into the world's mold, the Lord requires us to be transformed by having our minds renewed by God's word. Everything about us must be held up to the light of Scripture, and wherever there's any discrepancy, we must be transformed.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Some Christians, at least, will rise up and say, no, I'm not.
And so right away I realized that this is not a cake that I can create.
I'm not baking your cake. I'm not making your floral arrangement. I'm not photographing your so-called same-sex wedding ceremony. No, I'm not doing that, because the Word of God teaches that what you're doing is an abomination to God, and I am not going to participate.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We've been concerned from the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic that governors were trampling on the constitutional rights of Americans to freedom of religion, assembly, and movement. Now it turns out the shutdowns may have been pointless. Research done by an Israeli mathematician reveals that the progress of coronavirus infections follows exactly the same pattern, whether countries shut down like Israel or hardly shut down at all, like Sweden. The virus increases exponentially for 6 to 8 weeks, then tapers off no matter what states do. Bottom line, we should let people who are well go back to work, urge people who are sick to stay home and take hydroxychloroquine. Governors, open up your states and let America get back to work while there is still an America left to save.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Mark Klein is the president of the Zionist Organization of America, the most robust Jewish advocacy group in the country. His parents survived the Holocaust, and he became a tireless opponent of anti-Semitism and defender of America, Israel, and their bilateral relationship. Mr. Klein consequently rightly opposes the nomination of Diane Laub to chair the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. She formerly chaired HIAS, a group that used to help resettle Jews in the United States. Under Ms. Laub's leadership, however, HIAS became preoccupied with making money on government contracts by resettling mostly unassimilable Muslims here. Were Diane Laub actually to get the job, she'd surely promote the hard left's efforts simultaneously to dominate and vilify American Jews, while currying favor with Sharia supremacist Muslims and their fellow travelers. That would be terrible for the Council of Presidents, for Israel, and for America. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back. The big news overnight from the president is that he is he's suspending immigration, all immigration. There are 22 million Americans out of work, and this is what he says in his own words. In light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. And so I think that's great. I don't know if that extends to seasonal workers. I really don't know. We'll find out when he signs that order. But it's certainly true. You know, we allow a million immigrants into this country every single year. A million come in every single year legally. We have also the lottery. I don't know if that's included in that. I'm not sure if he suspended the lottery. He might have. I can't keep up. But that happened overnight, and you're going to hear a lot about that today. There's going to be, of course, a lot of criticism. The left already is criticizing. They hate that. And so so that's the big news. I just wanted to make sure I told you that. Also, I want to go back to the mishandling of these numbers. And I want to go across the pond here, as they say, to Great Britain for a second and read to you the words of Dr. John Lee. John Lee is a retired professor of pathology. You know what? I don't know what his... it does not say what school. Sorry. But he's obviously respected because he's featured in this UK publication. Basically, he says, he was a National Health Service consultant. So he says the UK has overreacted to the coronavirus outbreak, and the current lockdown measures in place to contain the virus could be less dramatic, according to an NHS consultant pathologist, and that's Dr. Lee. Okay, he says there's been a worldwide overreaction to coronavirus, and lack of testing means that the governments have been unable to get an accurate understanding of the severity of the disease. He also believes that the current evidence suggests coronavirus isn't much worse than seasonal flu. The key point I'm trying to make is that it's very difficult to interpret any numbers without context for those numbers. So the numbers we've been hearing of deaths do indeed sound very alarming, and we've all been seeing very alarming pictures from around the world. But the question is, we can't understand those numbers without knowing how they relate to other numbers related to deaths and disease. And that's, you know, for instance, for a long time we heard about Italy and their numbers, and they would compare it to the United States. Well, the United States has, what, over 300 million people, and Italy's a much smaller country. You cannot compare the two numbers of the people that get the disease, of the people that are dying. And you can't say, you just have to be very careful about comparisons. You can't, countries are not equal, just like, Massachusetts is not the same as California, just isn't. So if you say there were a certain amount of deaths in Massachusetts and compare it to deaths in California and try to make some kind of a comparison, you can't do that. And that's what he's saying. Of course, that's just one example. There's a growing body of informed opinion that feels the severity of this disease has been overstated. And then he goes back to repeat, there's evidence it isn't necessarily much worse than seasonal flu. That article, we'll put that on our Facebook page. Yeah, we'll put some articles on this that I've been using this morning on the Facebook page so you'll have something to reference. Now I want to get back to the media because they're apoplectic. They do not want the country to open. Why do you think? Why do you think they want people in Michigan and Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio, Alabama, you fill in the blanks. Why do you think they don't want you to work, that they want your small businesses to fail, that they want everything to be shut down? Any idea? Well, I'll let you fill in the blank. I'll let you fill in the blank. I won't. I'll just say, I don't know. But let's listen. There's a montage here. This is the media lambasting President Trump for wanting to open the country. Let's listen.
President Trump is praising stay-at-home protesters who are defying social distancing measures.
The president defending the demonstrators after tweeting last week that states led by Democratic governors like Michigan, hard hit by COVID-19, should be liberated.
These are great people. They've got cabin fever. They want to get back. They want their life back. Their life was taken away from them.
Okay, so that's that montage. And I already told you that CNN's April Ryan, this is what she tweeted. Should stay-at-home protesters who endanger other Americans by not following CDC guidelines about physical distancing be required to sign a waiver refusing medical attention at a hospital and not take up a ventilator if they contract the coronavirus? That's her question. Of course, that's a little bit kind of an ingenuous challenge. Because Chris Cuomo, who tested positive for COVID, left his quarantine in his basement and got into a fight with a bicyclist. He actually talked about this on the air. And then he was lambasted because the bicyclist said, "Why are you? Don't you have COVID? Why are you out? Why are you near me?" And so that was a big story. And then ABC News' George Stephanopoulos, who we heard earlier on the program, talking to Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, talking about how those that are rallying are, if they do it on Facebook, they're spreading disinformation. We cannot allow that disinformation. So we're taking them off of our platform so that they can't organize these protests. So that George. Okay, so George irked his neighbors by knocking around the prestigious Hamptons area east of New York City when it was common knowledge his wife was tested positive for COVID. Okay, so it's good for the gooses, but not good for the ganders, I guess, because April Ryan didn't mention any of that. She just wants those of you out protesting that you're losing your jobs and your businesses and can't plant gardens or grow food for your families, that you should sign a waiver for health care or ventilators. It really is, when you think about it, just let that soak in. It's just amazing because she's basically saying she wants you dead. You should die. You deserve to die. Okay, so if that weren't enough, we have Trevor Noah. It's a lot of British people who've infiltrated our airspace here to tell us what to do. But Trevor, on the comedy show, let's listen to what he had to say. Clip 4.
Fire, Fauci! Fire, Fauci!
Seriously? Fire, Fauci? So instead of fighting the virus, they want to get rid of the one guy who's warning us about the virus? America is lucky these same people weren't around when Paul Revere was riding into town. The British are coming! The British are coming! Ugh, I hate the British. Someone shut that guy up. But yes, all around the country, over the weekend, protests popped up, demanding an immediate end to lockdowns. And let's be honest, people, this is both insane and counterproductive. Because the more you gather in groups, the longer the lockdown will have to go on. Now, these protests have clearly been infused with the far-right ideology. Many demonstrators wore MAGA hats, they held up anti-Semitic signs, and in Michigan, they even waved Confederate flags, a clear symbol of Michigan's proud Southern heritage. But it's not just fringe right-wing groups who have been stoking the flames. It's also mainstream right-wing groups, like Fox News. You see, after Dr. Fauci appeared on the network and made the case for continuing the shutdowns, Fox News decided to get a second opinion from a doctor everyone can trust.
Talk show host Dr. Phil McGraw appearing on Fox News, blasting the government's response, appearing to downplay the pandemic.
Look, the fact of the matter is we have people dying. 45,000 people a year die from automobile accidents, 480,000 from cigarettes, 360,000 a year from swimming pools, but we don't shut the country down for that. But yet we're doing it for this, and the fallout is going to last for years because people's lives are being destroyed.
All right, that was Trevor Noah. Now, here's the thing. This is what your neighbors and friends are hearing. This is what so many people who are huddled out when you go out to the grocery store or wherever you're actually allowed to go, the pharmacy, I guess, that these frightened people are listening to people like Trevor Noah, the comedy show, especially the young people, and the rest of them are listening to NBC and ABC and even some on Fox News. It's just it's a steady drip of talk about disinformation. That's disinformation. And talk about ignorance. I have to say, Trevor just showed his ignorance by talking about Paul Revere. His analogy is that it would be like this guy, Paul Revere, shouting, "The British are coming, the British are coming," and somebody saying, "Oh, someone shut that guy up. I don't like the British." Does that not think about that for a second? Paul Revere was trying to warn people that the British were coming. His analogy is just stupid and incongruent, incoherent. It would be like, "I love the British," if he's going to make an analogy of that, and let's shoot Paul Revere. But that just shows you how untrustworthy his analysis is, but that's what kids are hearing. And then, of course, we move over to, let's see, Don Lemon. Don Lemon, this is what he had to say about the president, Mr. Anchor. Let's listen. This is clip 8.
Listen, Jeremy, make no mistake about it. These are my words. It's not yours, because you have to work at the White House every day and you have to work with these people. But does the president not understand that him coming out there every day and acting like a jerk is not going to help him with the American people? The American people are tired of it. It shows in the polling that people are watching every day because they want information about saving lives. They want to know where they are, when they can actually go back to work, and not about what a great job he's doing when everyone knows there's not enough testing. People don't want to go back to work if there's not enough testing. People are reticent to go back to work if there aren't tests, if they don't know if they have antibodies, if that's actually going to protect them from getting this virus. Is there a disconnect in the White House with this president? Does anybody talk to him about that? Does anyone have the courage to stand up to this person, to this bully, as we see him in this briefing room every day, to give him a real talk and say, hey, listen, you need to get out there and tell the American people the truth and stop acting like a big bully?
It's one of the anchors of CNN talking about the president of the United States, Don Lemon. This is what your neighbors are listening to. And that's why they hate the president, because they listen to this every single day. And let me just say a word. I've been thinking about this, but I just haven't, you know, when I'm trying to get in so much information to you that sometimes I don't muse as much as I ought to. I try to give you too much. But on the testing, the mantra now is we need more tests. We have to have tests. Everybody has to be tested. We don't have enough tests. How many tests do you have? Why don't you have this many tests? You're failing on the testing. And on and on and on. I'll let you watch the news about how many tests we've got going and what the president's doing to counter that. But here's the question I have. Help me understand, how is testing going to change really anything? You know, you could go today and get a test. Actually, I had one. And by the way, I'm fine. But that was 2 weeks ago. I might have it now, you see. Or I might go test it today and I might not have it. And then I might go test it tomorrow and suddenly I might have it. How in the world can tests are only good, from my perspective, my non-medical opinion is that when someone shows symptoms and they're enough symptoms that they are serious, they need to be hospitalized, then you want to test. Or if they are come to their doctor's office and they're concerned, they're coughing, they really don't feel well, they have some of the preliminary, they're having trouble breathing, then a test. But not like blanket tests, like drive through for millions of people, which is what they're demanding. Those are worthless. You could get it tomorrow. You could drive through and be fine and have it the next day. So we're going to be endlessly testing the rest of our lives. Every day we get up, you know, and brush our teeth, take a test. This is ridiculous. And yet that's their latest mantra. Test, test, test. And then there's Joy Behar, who, of course, loves those of you that are protesting because, you know, she's very wealthy. It isn't hurting her at all. It isn't hurting Trevor Noah either or Don Lemon. You know, they're doing fine. So is Nancy Pelosi with her ice cream. But this is what Joy Behar had to say about some of the protesters. Clip 13.
Why are you bringing guns to a rally? You want to call yourself protesters? Leave your guns home. Those are terrorists who bring guns to things, to rallies. I don't trust that at all. And don't listen to these people.
Those of you that carry guns, you know, in open carry states like Virginia, you know, you are terrorists when you do that. That's how ignorant she is. Reminds me of the time I was in Chicago, NBC Studios, Chicago, and I was doing what they call a hit. Where I was supposed to appear for something, and my Bruce had come from the FBI headquarters and to meet me, and he took his coat off, he had suspenders on, and he had his gun hanging from his. He's an FBI agent. For those of you that don't know, he was an FBI agent. The floor director at NBC went apoplectic. He's got a gun! He's got a gun! She called security, who had no authority over my FBI husband, who my husband is a. You know, he's a law-abiding man, and he didn't want to cause trouble, so he let the security guard from the building escort him down to the lobby because he's an FBI agent and he had a gun. But to the floor director, he was like Joy Behar's opinion of this. He was like a terrorist. Get him off the floor. Never mind that if something had happened, he could have saved their lives, but they cannot understand it. And so here we are, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.